Thank you for the prayer and the privilege of being with you once again. I invite you to get your Bible and come with me to the 17th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 17. There's a statement I want to remind us of that is revealed in verse 10. Luke 17:10, where Jesus said, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say." Say what, Lord? "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our," what's the next word? Duty. To do. You might circle that word, duty. You and I are moved by a sense of duty or responsibility. Right? You have responsibilities in lots of areas, don't you? How about home? You have some there? At work? Those of you who are enrolled in school, you have some responsibilities at school? They kind of expect you to be there, don't they? Don't mind giving you a little something to do during the day and of a night to report on when you get back the next day. Responsibilities. I want to talk to us for a little bit about our responsibilities to the local church. I'm afraid we live in a time when our responsibilities to the local church are often overlooked. They're not taken as seriously as they ought to be. And so it's a good time to think about that. Now, as we talk about our responsibilities to the local church, I want to begin by reminding us of the use this book makes of the word church. I picked up this book and I tried to find out everything the book of God has to say about the church of the living God. And I found that word church is used a good number of times throughout the New Testament. And I began to realize that it's used different ways. Sometimes the word church is used in a non-spiritual way to refer to an assembly of people. Like in Acts 19:41, when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And then sometimes the word is used in reference to those the Lord called out into a special relationship with him, over which he is their head and of which he is their Savior. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And as I separated out those passages where the word church is used in reference to the church of Christ, those purchased with the blood of Christ, Acts 20:28, I began to realize that the word church is used in a couple different ways in that sense. And that is, sometimes the word church is used so as to refer to all the saved the world over. You might think of that as the church in the whole, or the church universal. Like in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where the word church is first used in the New Testament. Jesus had a conversation with his apostles. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They had different perceptions of Jesus. Some thought he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets or John the Baptist. And he said, "Who do ye say that I am?" Peter answered. Remember his answer? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And upon that bedrock truth, Jesus pledged, "I will build my church." He's talking about a relationship that he would establish with people where he would be reconciling them unto God, from whom they had separated themselves through their sinfulness. And so the word church is used universally, so as to include all the saved people on earth. And then sometimes the word church is used in a local sense, so as to designate the number of saved gathered together in a particular geographical location. A good example would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. When Paul addressed his Corinthian letter unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. When you read the first chapters of Revelation, you have the seven churches in Asia, like Thyatira and Smyrna and Pergamos. Today, this is the Olson Park Church of Christ, right? I come from Terre Haute, Indiana. Worship and work with the Church of Christ of Terre Haute. That's the local church. And when we talk about our responsibilities today, we have this latter use of the word church in mind. My responsibilities to the local church. There are a couple of different expressions I want to familiarize us with, or at least remind us of. The first of which is in Acts chapter 2. In verse 47, when the Bible says the Lord added to the church. You might underscore added to the church. Now, there's a sense in which you're added to the church by the Lord. That occurs when you obey the gospel. Here were folks in the first century in Jerusalem. Upon the first day of Pentecost, following the resurrection and ascension of Christ into heaven, they heard powerful preaching. And they were told, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. When they did that, the Lord added them to the church. When a person traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, who had been entrusted with all the king's treasure, heard Christ preached, and upon the confession of his faith, went down into the water with the man of God and was baptized. You know what happened? He's added to the church. Which church? Same one they were. There's one body, Ephesians 4:4, which is the church, Colossians 1:24. In Philippi, when there are some women who were at the riverside praying, heard Paul, those that were with him, preach. Her heart was open, attended to the things spoken by Paul. When she is baptized, what happened? Added to the church by the Lord. When a person today in the Philippine Islands or Chile, South America, here in Amarillo, Texas, or Vigo County, Indiana, hears the same gospel message, believes it, obeys it, what happens? He's added to the church. How's that happen? We talked about the seed earlier. There's a principle that's a proven law of genetics that was established at the beginning, Genesis 1. That is, seed produces after his kind. You take seed that is being planted now in Indiana, and you preserve that seed, say 2,000 years. And you take it to another area. Provided the seed is properly preserved and the soil conditions are right, what's it going to produce? Same corn be harvested this fall in Indiana. Now, you take the same gospel seed planted in the first century and you plant it today. What's it going to produce? Christians after their kind. Going to produce the church as you find it featured in the New Testament, right? And so when you plant that seed today and it takes lodging in an honest and good heart, they obey it, what's going to happen? Lord, add them to the church. That's how you become a member of the church. You are included in that number of the save the world over. But then you have the responsibility to essay to join yourself to the disciples in a specific location. I can give you an example of that. Acts chapter 9. Remember Saul? He's a mean fella. He'd been persecuting Christians. He has a life-changing experience. On his way to Damascus with arrest warrants in hand to bring Christians down to Jerusalem to be punished. Blinded by a light from heaven. One time flying down here, sat next to a fella, he said, you know, Saul was saved when he fell off his horse. I said, how do you know it wasn't a mule or a donkey? He said, well, let me show you. And over there, I read the whole chapter. He didn't see anything about a horse. And nothing said about him being saved on the road. In fact, when he was asking the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord didn't tell him what to do. He told him where to go to find out. He said, arise and go into the city, Damascus. It shall be told thee what thou must do. And in the city, he meets up with a certain disciple named Ananias who said in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. What happened when he was baptized? Added to the church. You might think, I've been too bad. I tell you, Saul, who later is known as Paul, who identified himself as the chiefest of sinners, can be saved and added to the church, then surely you and I can too. But you know, they ran him out of Damascus. in Acts 9, the Bible says that he was there proving that this is very Christ, Acts 9:22. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. Now watch verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, what did he do? He essayed to join himself to the disciples. You know what that is? That's local church membership. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Suppose all you knew about Saul was his history. You're familiar with Mrs. Stephen, right? Her husband's been stoned. There sits her children. Here he comes. He wants to be identified. He wants to join himself with us. What might be your reaction? You might be afraid too. You might be a little reluctant to extend to him the right hand of fellowship. But he had somebody that vouched for him. Barnabas, verse 27, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. They received him into their fellowship. And so the local church has the right to decide who they're going to receive and not receive. And when you come into an area and you say to join yourself, you ought to come by recommendation. Like if you were to leave Amarillo as a member of this church, your work takes you to Timbuktu. You know where that is? And you say to the brethren in Timbuktu, I want to join myself to disciples. I come from Amarillo. What might these brethren here do? They might write a little letter of recommendation about you. What would they say about you? Would they exhort the disciples in Timbuktu to receive you? They're faithful members. And we commend them to you. And upon your commendation, recommendation, you'd be with them coming in and going out. That's a scriptural example of what we often refer to as local church membership. So you have two different expressions we need to be familiar with. Added to the church and then joined to the disciples. You don't join the church in a universal sense. I hear people today talk about, I'm joining a church and getting saved. As if they're two different things. Where do you read in the New Testament where someone who is not a Christian joined the church? They're added to it by the Lord. That's how you become a member of it. What you do in receiving the remission of your sins, you do in becoming a member of the church. It's the same process. When you're baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But then you have the responsibility to be firmly fastened with the disciples in your area. That's the idea of joy, to be cemented, to be glued, to be fixed. So what have we learned so far? The word church used different ways, universally, locally. I'm added to the church, I joined the disciples. And I want to impress us with the fact that our responsibilities to the Lord and the church go together. You see, Christ and the church go together. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:32, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Circle that word and. It's a coupling pin, like between two boxcars on a train. One goes one way, the other goes that way. And so where Christ goes, the church goes. Connected. Inseparably. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And he joined Christ and the church together. Like a husband and wife are joined together. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ is the husband. In that context, Ephesians 5, he's talking about the husband-wife relationship. He said, I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. In Romans 7:4, he talked about being married to Christ. Christ and the church. You're bringing about spiritual divorce when you try to separate Christ from the church. And to suggest that there's more than one body, more than one church, is to accuse Christ of being a polygamist. He's not. One husband, one bride. They go together like a head and a body. Suppose these elders said, John, we'd like for you to come down and preach for us. Just bring your head, leave your body up there and tear a hole. Couldn't work, would it?